Today is the very last Sunday before we enter into the season of Lent. And Lent comes from the old English word lengthen, meaning spring, because it is around this time that the days are lengthened. They get longer as we move away from the darkness of winter into the lighter days of spring. However, in most other languages, the word for Lent points to its very core. Very unapologetically, it is a 40-day period of fasting. Whether in Spanish, Quaresma, Italian, Quaresima, or French, Carême, it means 40 days. Whether in Polish, Wielki Post, or German, Fastenzeit, it means great fast. So we enter into this 40-day fast, but why? We don't do it to lose weight. We don't do it to make God happy. We don't do it because that's what every Catholic does during this time. We do it because as an entire church, the Church Universal, we begin a pilgrimage, a spiritual journey. We go on a 40-day retreat, a time of interior silence, self-reflection, prayer, peace, and pardon. And it's this last aspect, pardon, that I would like to focus on today. As many of you know, especially those who have attended my classes in RCIA or during my lecture series this past December, I often draw inspiration from the ancient traditions. From the West, our shared Roman Catholic heritage. From the East, the Byzantine Greek, as well as the Middle Eastern Catholic tradition, as well as ancient Judaism. And there's a beautiful tradition among the Byzantine Catholics. The last Sunday before the start of Lent is called Forgiveness Sunday. In the morning, they would attend Divine Liturgy, what we would call the Holy Mass, and in the evening, they would come back to church for Vespers, evening prayer. But that evening is a little different from all other Sundays because at the very end, they have something called the Rite of Forgiveness. The priest brings out the cross and the icons of Jesus and the Blessed Mother and places them on stands in front of the sanctuary. The priest then bows down to the cross and the icons and kisses them. And then he turns to the people and asks for their forgiveness, saying, "Forgive me, brothers and sisters, for I am a sinner. Forgive me for the sins that I have committed this day and all the days of my life in thought, word, and deed." And then he bows to the people. Then everyone else bows to him. And then they say, "May God forgive you. Forgive me." And then the priest replies, "May God forgive you." And then, kind of like what we do at the sign of peace, the people turn to each other, asking each other for forgiveness. "Forgive me, a sinner. May God forgive you." So why don't we practice that? "Forgive me, a sinner. May God forgive you." And I think it's deeply moving. You have this colorful montage, this random group of people coming together to ask each other for forgiveness. Both children and adults, both stranger and friend. And my question had always been, how could a stranger or a little child have sinned against me? Or how could I have sinned against them if I've never even met them before? Father Thomas Hopko, professor of dogmatic theology and the former dean of St. Vladimir Seminary in New York, puts it this way. "The deeper truth is that we are all guilty in front of everyone and everything. The smallest, most hidden, most secret sin in the depths of our soul affects the entire universe. Because we are members of one another, we belong with one another. There's no such thing as isolated individuals. That is simply a lie when we think that I can live in my own little world and what I do doesn't affect anyone else. That's not true. Everything affects everyone, and the smallest sin is a sin against every human being. And that is why they, and us too, should fall down on our face, should bow before every person and ask for their forgiveness. One of the Russian bishops, Saint Herman, was a missionary in Alaska, and he came to know the various indigenous tribes there. He had a great respect for them, and he tells a story about their attitudes towards the animals that they hunt. Whenever native Alaskans set out to hunt seal or other animals, they do so with the greatest care. And the reason being, their early folk traditions say that when animals first saw humans coming into their land, they were afraid, not of them, but for them. The animals wondered how these funny-looking creatures, who had no fur, could survive in the ice and the cold. So the animals decided to sacrifice themselves for these poor beings, offering their own bodies for food and clothing. And that's why when an animal is killed in the hunt, the native Alaskans pray and offer thanks to the creature for its sacrifice. And the carcass is treated with great care, and no part of the animal would be wasted or treated with disrespect. Those natives learned a lesson that we need to hear, that nothing comes without a price. Our actions, whether we realize it or not, have an impact on our family, friends, strangers, and the order of the entire universe. Another category of people that we ask forgiveness from are, of course, those who are closer to home. Friends, spouses, children, fellow parishioners. In this case, we probably don't need to work too hard to think how we have sinned against each other and why we need to seek forgiveness. The very act of being together, living under the same roof or worshiping in the same church day in and day out, week in and week out, brings with us unavoidable struggle and friction. What family, what church doesn't have this? And of course, we ask forgiveness from God. At every Mass, and I hope every day in your personal prayer, you say the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And what do we say in the fifth line of the Our Father? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. We ask God to pardon us our sins in the same measure that we pardon those who offend us. In fact, we shouldn't even approach God's mercy seat until we first have forgiven others. And boy, isn't that a hard thing to do, especially when it's someone that has hurt you. Now, that's a big topic that deserves a whole homily by itself. But for now, I think we can recognize that holding on to anger or resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. We always recognize it's a process, and that takes time, and that's okay. So we ask forgiveness from God who has forgiven us first, the one whose mercy and love is always there for the asking. And that's why we have the sacrament of confession. At the entrance of the church, we have available always a guide on how to go to confession. It has an examination of conscience, so please take one. It's always a good time to go to confession, but Lent especially. So please, this season, make it a point to prepare well and to make a good confession. Don't just run in there, please. There's something wrong if it's 12 months and your confession takes 5 seconds. It shouldn't take an hour either, but there should be some thought and reflection behind it. You do the same if you're sincerely asking forgiveness of someone else, thinking and weighing your own words. The prayer of St. Francis says, "It is in pardoning that we are pardoned." Our Lord himself says, "If you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." May we pardon each other and ask pardon of God. So I say to you first, my brothers and sisters, forgive me, a sinner. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.